We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Now hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, the weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your networking community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Hey everybody, Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook. This week's guest is Carrie Hoffman. Carrie is a certified business coach, digital advisor, and speaker. She specializes in business growth and digital transformation. As owner of Focal Point Business Coaching, Carrie introduces clients to tools, techniques, and frameworks to drive personal and business growth. Carrie has experience in multiple industries and has a variety of roles, including CIO, operations, supply chain, and sales. She's very active in the community, serving on boards for the Girl Scouts and the United Way. Carrie, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Lori. I'm happy to be here.
I'm excited for you to be here, too, because I know that you and I have lots of things in common.
That we do.
And lots of fun, juicy tips that I'm sure you're going to be able to share with our listeners.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about your experience when it comes to digital. What exactly is your definition of the digital age?
Yeah, so I do a lot of work with business transformation and digital transformation. And a lot of times people ask me, you know, what exactly is digital? And I like to talk about the digital age. So I'm going to go over a little bit of history here with my definition of the digital age. So the age just prior to the 18th century was the agriculture age. And it was a period when mostly agrarian and rural societies started to become industrial. And that's when we moved into the industrial age between the 18th and 19th century. So the Industrial Revolution is often characterized by the development of the iron and textile industries, the steam engine, and the computer. Many believe that we're in the midst of moving to a new age, and I'm definitely one of those people mm-hmm. that believes that. And it's called a number of different things. You'll hear it called the digital age, the cognitive age, the age of accelerations. Some even call it the fourth industrial revolution.
Okay.
Now, I actually think that we're moving out of the Industrial Revolution and into that next age. And that is because there are huge changes going on right now in just about every system that you can think of, in governments and industry. And so we're moving out of the Industrial Age. We're moving into the next age. And I happen to call it the Digital Age.
I like it. It totally makes sense. I mean, right now, technology is what's driving pretty much everything I'm doing professionally.
Yeah, exactly.
And so many different levels. And you know, digital is really the hot button of conversation for any business, any process, as you were saying. I mean, there's anything and everything, agriculture and industry, digital is touching it.
Yep. So there's nothing left untouched by digital.
Cool. So let's talk about that a little bit further. I mean, technology is definitely changing at just a fascinating rate. Are people keeping up with this? What are you seeing in that regards?
Yeah, so, you know, most people and companies aren't quite keeping up with all the technology changes that are going on and the technology acceleration. In fact, it takes a lot of new ways of working and a really hearty appetite for continuous learning if you're going to keep up. So one of the books I'm reading right now is called Thank You for Being Late by Thomas Friedman. And in that book, really in the beginning of the book, Thomas has a graph that shows a technology curve. And that technology curve is now increasing at an exponential rate. So that means at a point in the graph, which is actually already behind us, mm-hmm. that curve is almost vertical. So that's an exponential rate. Mm-hmm. There's a second curve on that graph that is the human adoption. And that curve is not increasing at an exponential rate. In fact, the human adoption has fallen behind the technology acceleration. And so we now have this gap that shows that as humans, we're not really keeping up with the technology going out there. So Thomas Thomas really says that to fill that gap, we need to have continuous learning, and we also have to have new governance models, which is really fascinating when you think of, you know, different governance models that need to be put in place in order to keep up.
Well, yes, and as you spoke into earlier, that's definitely something that there is a shift happening. I believe it's happening slower than what the most people would probably like to see that happening right now, as you're speaking to. I mean, there's
right.
Everyone's been functioning in just kind of this is the way we're supposed to be doing things. This is the way we've always done things, and it's really hard for that shift to happen and for people to accept that there is a change that's happening.
Yeah, change is really hard for people.
It is hard.
Yeah, most people don't like change. Mm-hmm. I'm probably one of the rare people that do like change. So I think change is awesome, but it's a lot of work to keep up with it.
Oh, totally. Well, and I think even just from my own experiences and those that I've shared or heard with others is those that do jump in to change leveraging technology, maybe it was an initial positive experience.
Mm-hmm,
so then they're very hesitant to try something else again.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
Because it was more painful than helpful to some degree.
Well, it's hard to separate the pain from the good sometimes.
Yeah, but I think you just have to have patience and accept that it is a learning curve for everyone, not just us implementing, but the technology that's evolving. It's a learning and understanding of how people want to use these tools and resources, right?
Exactly.
So you've bopped around a bit. I know this is more on the personal side of things, but where's the most fascinating place that you've lived?
That's an easy answer for me. The most fascinating place that I've lived is Singapore. I lived there in 2008 through 2010, and it is a fascinating city, country. It's all in one. It's only 26 miles by 10 miles.
Hmm.
Yeah, and about halfway through the last century, they were making huge changes, and the government started running the country like a business.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so one of the things that they're really good at is melding a bunch of cultures together. So Singapore has 5 official languages, and they pull their national holidays from 5 different countries.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So as you live there, it's an amazing learning experience. 2 other things about Singapore that's really cool is they just naturally are good at change. So when we went to look for housing when we first moved to Singapore, our agent told us that, you know, if we look at an old place, that we'll have more space. And if we look at a new place, that it'll be smaller. But the good thing about a new place is it won't go on block. So on block means that they're going to take that building, the owner of the building, and they're going to kick everybody out and they're going to build another building. Because it's only 10 miles by 26 miles, the only thing they can do is build up.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll take a 30-story building and they'll build a 60-story building.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we're looking at homes. We get to this home. He says we're looking at apartments. And it's 10 years old, okay? And we get in there and we're like, wow, this is big. And he's like, well, yeah, it's old.
10 years old is old.
10 years old is old. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
The other really cool thing about Singapore is they do a 25-year plan. So they have a 25-year business plan.
Wow.
Yet they update it constantly. So they are very much understanding the digital age and how fast things are moving. And they have a plan for smart buildings, smart city, and their plan's actually called the Smart Nation. So they're using a whole bunch of technology. They're using artificial intelligence. They're using Internet of Things. They'll probably be the first country that has an autonomous vehicle zone for only autonomous cars. So just a fascinating place to really get into this new digital flow of things moving really fast.
So I imagine you're still very closely following what they're doing.
Absolutely.
Right? Where are you getting some of this information from? Like,
I have a lot of different sources.
Okay.
I mean, sometimes I just love Googling things, you know, Medium's a good source for information.
Sure. Okay.
Deloitte has these Deloitte briefs on technology that are quite good. And I also love Singularity University.
Okay.
That's singularity.org, I believe, is the website for that.
And cool.
Yeah, that is a really cool site because they're talking about how fast everything is moving. They talk about exponential technologies. Mm-hmm. And they also talk about the world being about abundance and not scarcity. And I just love that whole concept.
And you ended up in Milwaukee, where I feel technology and just in general trends are a little slower than the rest of our nation.
That is
even.
So true. So I'm from Milwaukee originally.
Okay.
And so people leave Milwaukee and they often come back, right? So mm-hmm. I was gone for about 14 years, lived in New Jersey three times, Jacksonville, Florida, and Singapore, and worked in a lot of global roles. So I got to travel all over the world. I lost count at 35 countries that I've been to. So even if you live and you're from Milwaukee, you can still get out and go out.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, one of the things I like to do on a regular basis is get out to San Francisco. Just get out to Silicon Valley. I always make sure there's time in my schedule to just hang out at a coffee shop and just feel the buzz of everything going on.
Yeah, it's fast moving, but it's a beautiful city. You need one of those maps that you can like scratch off the country that you've been in. Have you seen those?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's, you know, kind of like those lottery scratch off tickets.
Oh, yeah.
They make maps now so you can just scratch off where you visited.
Oh, I'm going to have to get one of those.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
I see ads for them all the time, but that's probably because I'm traveling all the time. So, you know, those ads, they know who to target.
I must always have my head in a book.
So as you're bopping around, traveling the world, what do you do or how do you stay on top of things from your own personal recharging standpoint? What are some of your ways to recharge?
Yeah, so recharging is really important. I do like to read, and I read a variety of books. I do read a lot on technology and things like that, but I also read self-improvement books, things like that. I love doing art and crafts. That's a really good way for me to re-energize. Time just flies when I'm doing that kind mm-hmm. of thing. And I also like to meditate. It's really helpful to just get calm and get re-centered, you know, and refocus back on what's important.
Yeah, I do all those things, which is fantastic. And I'd say off conversation here that we're recording, I'd love to dive into your arts and crafts things.
That sounds good.
Definitely something I enjoy doing. I just haven't given myself the time recently.
Yeah.
But meditation, I'm a huge fan of that. And reading, as everyone that's listening knows, I love to read because I love hearing what everyone else is reading. But we'll get to that.
Well, it's one of the key things to be a continuous learner.
Right. Absolutely.
Is the reading and just, the internet research. So
absolutely. Well, the show here is all about networking.
Yes.
And that's a great one of my topics, my favorite topics to talk about. And I love learning from my guests. So can you share with our listeners your most successful or favorite networking story that you've experienced or had?
Yeah, my favorite networking story started on LinkedIn.
Okay.
I actually have on my profile angel investing, and that's because I've belonged to an angel investing group. I'm currently taking a break from that, but I get a lot of people pinging me who are like third connections, right, mm-hmm. that are looking for investing. So,
sure.
And most of those I don't really do a lot with. I got one day that was someone from a startup. And they weren't asking me for funding. They were asking if I was willing to be an advisor for them. And he said he had gotten my name from a mutual connection.
Okay.
And that mutual connection was someone that I used to work with at Johnson & Johnson. So I actually pinged my contact and mm-hmm. say, do you really know this person? Oh, yeah, he's great. Okay. So I looked at his LinkedIn profile, and the only connection we had in common was that one connection. Mm-hmm. That was it.
Okay.
So we talked by phone and started to learn about his company. And it's been an amazing relationship that's really been mutually beneficial. We've made a lot of connections from knowing each other. I'm now an advisor for a company that he's on the board of. And it's just been amazing. So the fun thing about it is we started meeting via video calls. And it took about 3 to 4 months before we ever met in person. And when we did, we just felt like we knew each other. So that's my favorite networking story because I had to take that chance of, wow, this is really somebody out of the blue, but you know what? I'm going to have a conversation.
Yeah. No, that's fantastic. I love it. And I love that you started that with technology. So many conversations are just, which is great, you know, that our guests bring on the show. You know, they were at an event or, right. or someone made an introduction to some degree. But I love that it was technology and someone not necessarily 100% blindly reached out to you, but
pretty close.
Pretty close,
yeah,
right?
Pretty close to blind.
You had no idea this outreach was coming in as right. opposed to someone saying, hey, I'm introducing you to this person that you need to connect with.
Exactly. And I think it was important to be open when we had that first conversation mm-hmm. and not like super skeptical, right?
Yeah, I think that's really important as well.
Yeah.
So as you've traveled the world, worked for a number of different companies, and now have your own company, you're speaking to a number of groups and large entities, what do you do to stay in front of or nurture this community and network that you've developed over time?
I think nurturing your network is really important. I make it a point to reach out to my network on a personal basis. So that can be really simple sometimes. It can be just reaching out and saying, you know, happy birthday or congratulations on this new role, right? Social media helps us with that. Mm-hmm. You just reach out and then boom, it spurts another conversation. Or it can be very deliberate as well. So I like to reach out to people in my network really on a regular basis and either have a phone call with them if we're not in the same location, because I do have a network that's mm-hmm. pretty global, or to just meet with people in person. And it's amazing where that can lead to just have a conversation and catch up. And it always leads to some mutual suggestions of other people to network with or other people to get to know.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So nurturing it really helps you grow your network in a very meaningful and deliberate way.
Mm-hmm. So just kind of being thoughtful about, I need to touch base with this person, so I'm going to reach out and say, hey, let's get on the phone or grab some coffee or something like that.
Mm-hmm, nice. Exactly.
Yeah, really important. So what advice would you offer the professional who's looking to grow their network?
Yeah, so my advice is to start with your champion network. So that's a term that people may not have heard, but your champion network is basically your friends, your family. It's the people you know. Coworkers, past coworkers. And even if you haven't spoken to someone in years, reach out. It's always advice that I give to people. People often reach out to me for advice, you know, when they're in transition in a job. Uh-huh. And I'm like, well, yep. What about, you know, so-and-so that you used to work for? Oh, I haven't talked to them in 5 years. It's like, it doesn't matter. Like, reach out to them.
Yeah.
And people are just so willing to help and actually often flattered that you're reaching out to them and that you remembered them. And it makes a big difference. So your champion network, they know you.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they suggest connections for you, they're usually high quality connections. Like, oh, you need to go meet this person because they already know you quite well. You also can get suggestions from people you've just met, but because they don't have that history with you, it may be a bit of a stretch, the type of person that they're having you reach out to.
Absolutely. I think that's there's a lot of truth to that, and just leveraging that established relationships that you have. And I think a lot of times people look at it as, well, this is business and this is personal and I want to keep them really separate.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know who other people know, regardless if they're in the same industry as you are not. So it doesn't hurt to just ask, right?
Exactly.
It's that simple. Just ask the question.
Actually, we have a very active, it just made me think, we have a very active neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
And so we'll have like a spring, actually it's a fall picnic, and we'll have a Christmas party. And you're usually meeting your neighbors and not necessarily thinking about what they do for a living, mm-hmm. but you'll be amazed, like the people in your neighborhood and what they do,
yeah.
right? If you start to have that conversation.
Absolutely.
It's been some really fascinating connections.
Yeah, it is, I'm sure. And I've heard stories from past guests that, you know, it's their neighbor connected them to some amazing person, but you don't know, right? It's just so interesting. So digital networking or traditional networking, which one do you find more value in?
Yeah, so digital or traditional, It's definitely not a either or answer.
Yep.
I really think it's both. So I've had some really valuable digital networking encounters, which have been enhanced by subsequent traditional networking meetings, right? Where you meet the person digitally, but then you end up meeting them in person. So the example I gave before of my favorite networking story certainly started out that way. I also really value traditional networking, where you're meeting people, networking meetings, events, that type of thing. And those I always subsequently nurture digitally. So when I meet people at a networking event and I have connected with them, I always reach out on LinkedIn or Facebook. Mm-hmm. And it allows you the opportunity to do a lot with social media messaging to just stay in contact mm-hmm. with people. So I use both.
Yeah.
And sometimes I start with digital and it leads to in-person traditional, and sometimes it starts with traditional, and traditional always leads to kind of the digital social aspect online.
I agree 100%. I think it's a balance of both. I'm a huge advocate of, you know, you don't put all your eggs in one basket. Mm-hmm. And you can't just say it's 100% one versus the other. It's a combination of both the digital and the traditional. And I think they are kind of melding together more and more.
They are. Yeah, really interesting. In fact, a lot of people don't realize that when you're at a networking meeting and someone goes, oh, let's connect on LinkedIn, if you go onto LinkedIn, there's actually a feature where you can see who's nearby and instantly connect.
Yeah, yep, which is great.
It is, and that often blows people's mind. Uh-huh. They're like, I didn't know that was there. I'm going to use that all the time now.
I just read an article in our local business publication in Milwaukee here about a company that started an app I believe it's called Hello, My Name Is. And what it is that if you have it turned on and they do it at your networking event, then it's their picture and their name. It helps remind. So if, you know, I run into you somewhere, I'm like, oh my gosh, what is her name?
Where
you
did know? I meet them? Where do they work?
I know her, but I don't remember.
I definitely need this app.
That's actually really smart, because I've done that. The weird thing that I've encountered is you do have your segments of people, right?
Like, sure.
These are my business professional people. And then, you know, I teach, so I have my students or anyone in that bucket. And then I play hockey, and that's totally separate. But when those worlds collide, oh my goodness, it's chaos in my head. Like, I know this person, but this isn't the place I know them from. How do I know this person?
You are totally making me laugh, because I had one of these experiences recently. So I was at a networking event. It was actually through the United Way. And one of the panelists, I'm like, wow, she looks so familiar, but I could not place it. And we even connected and talked, and neither one of us made the connection. Neither one of us. And then later she was like, wow, she would be great to do some speaking for me. Mm-hmm. So finally we connected, and she was like, oh my God, you're Kelly's sister-in-law. So her best friend is my sister-in-law. And whenever I would see her, she had her hair pulled back in a ponytail.
Oh,
and she
okay.
was in sweats.
Sure.
And when I saw her at the networking event, she was, you know, in a suit and her hair uh-huh. was down. And so
yep.
it was so funny that neither one of us made the connection, and we actually knew each other quite well.
Oh, it's so weird.
It
or you
is.
Run into someone at the grocery store and you're like, oh goodness, I'm so not in my element right now, but I know you.
So I need to download that app, Hello, My Name Is.
Yeah, no, I thought it was really interesting.
Absolutely.
And it could definitely help. But again, that's, I think, the example I brought up about how digital and traditional are really, you know, technology is advancing, how those are getting kind of intertwined a little bit.
Right, so. And helping us, right?
Mm-hmm. All right, so if you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
Yeah, this is a really easy one for me. I would tell myself to be less self-critical. So as women, I think this can be quite a challenge. Two of my favorite books that I've read in the past are How to Play Like a Man and Win Like a Woman, and that is by Gail Evans. And another one is The Confidence Code by Kathy Kay and Claire Shipman. Both of those books give scientific background for a lot of the characteristics of women. And so although we're kind of wired to be self-critical and really mull things over, we're also wired to handle the fast-paced world of constant change. We're great multitaskers, and we can just handle this fast pace with flair and finesse. So I would tell myself to be less self-critical, and I would remind myself that I'm wired to be self-critical, and I can give myself a break.
Yeah, really good. I like that a lot. And it's a different advice that I think you're sharing compared to some past guests. So fascinating. I've read some other good books by Gail Evans before. I want to say, and this is off the top of my head, I see the cover of the book in my head.
What is it called? You can come up with it.
I believe it's She Wins, You Win.
Oh, I think that is. Yeah, I've heard of that book. I haven't read it yet.
It's really good. I like that one. So that's interesting. I'm going to definitely check that one out. Okay, Carrie, so we've all heard of the 6 degrees of separation. Now, who would be the one person that you'd love to connect with? And do you think you could do it within the 6th degree?
Okay, so maybe you're going to say I'm cheating on the answer to this question, but my answer is not a specific name.
Okay.
The one person that I like to connect with is the person that when you meet them, you just click. And you instantly start building upon each other's ideas, and you feel super energized when you leave that conversation. And in order to do that, you just have to be really open, right? So I'm talking about like someone at a networking event, or you're on a plane or you're on a train and you just strike up a conversation. So I have kind of a fun example. I was on a flight to India, and I'm always in business mode then. And I don't usually talk to the people around me.
Neither do I.
Right.
I don't like to do that for some reason.
Most people don't. And I don't remember who started this conversation, but started a conversation with the person next to me. And it ends up that he builds helicopter pads on top of residences of very rich people in India. And the conversation was fascinating and energizing in and of itself. But I also learned quite a bit about the influential people from the city in India that I was traveling to. And I'm very interested in learning a culture. So it was a conversation point that I could bring up with the people that I was meeting. And it helped them really realize that I was interested in the culture and wanted to learn the culture. So
cool.
You just never know.
Yeah. No, I love that. I definitely believe that you kind of can get energy from other people as far as how the conversation goes. I know the first time you and I met, we definitely had sparks flying. And
we did.
We could have talked for hours and hours on end about technology and digital and all these really cool things. But those are great conversations.
They are.
You know, and those are the ones you want to have more of and just kind of continue to fuel. So how do you go about finding those individuals then?
Yeah, it's a matter of, you know, being open to a conversation, being curious, and allowing yourself to be vulnerable at the same time. You know, to open up and you know, just really talk about what you believe in or your values or what you're interested in. I have a story. It's a very old story. I was an exchange student in Chile when I was in my late teens, and they would always ask me, tell me about yourself. And I would tell them about the grade I was in and the things I like to do and that kind of thing. And they'd go, no, we want you to tell me about you. What do you believe in? What do you stand for? What really energizes you?
That's cool.
It was. And it was a totally, like, I totally gave the typical American answer.
Sure.
We're kind of defined by our job and our family and our people.
I'm married. This is what I do for a living. And that's it.
Exactly. And so what I learned, they would stop me all the time.
Yeah.
No, that's not what we mean. And so I often think of that. And when I'm in, you know, a networking event or even in a public area where, you know, plane delays are great, right? Because people start talking. You know, really, you know, be a little bit more vulnerable.
Yep.
Tell something about what you believe in or what you think or what you're interested
in. Interesting.
Yeah.
Cool.
And if it's, And if it's uncomfortable to do that, then start talking about a book you're reading and why you like it.
Yep.
Because in there is usually some of those core things.
Yeah. And it's in probably a less stressful way to communicate that.
Right. Right.
Any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
Yeah, I would say, be authentic and curious. Ask great questions where you can really get to know the other person. Again, in terms of like their values, their strengths, their challenges. I think you meet the most fascinating people when you're willing to be vulnerable and really get to know each other at the core.
Those are great pieces of advice. Definitely a fan of authenticity and curiosity. I think both of them really help to establish a relationship and say, I'm genuinely interested in who you are, and I'm willing to showcase who I am if you're open to receiving that.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, Carrie, if anyone was interested in getting in contact with you, what is the best way that they can reach you?
Yeah, the best way to reach me is through LinkedIn messaging, or you can find my email and even my mobile phone right on my LinkedIn profile. I respond to texts a lot faster than I respond to email.
I do too, actually. And we will include all of that information in our show notes. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today, Carrie.
Thank you, Lori. It's been a pleasure.
Great conversation. You offered lots of value to our listeners. This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Carrie Hoffman for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we will see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.